Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Ladies and gentlemen, after the benediction is here, ATB. Baby, what's going on, everybody? This is Nicholas Christian, Nick Christian, the host of After the Benediction, a gospel preacher just bringing forth the word of God in Jesus' name. And this week on After the Benediction, we're talking about dancing in the fire. Dancing in the fire. That's right. This word is coming out of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 30. And we'll skip around. I won't read the entire thing, but we'll skip around. And while you guys get there, I'll update you. Man, we had great ratings on the show last week, man. If you hadn't been able to listen to last week's show, A Pain for God's Gain, Part 2, we talked about the story of Job and the words of David in Psalm chapter 23. And, man, did I get some great feedback and great responses from that. That's been amazing. That's been amazing. I appreciate everyone that reaches out to me, man. It really motivates and continues to inspire me. And really, you know what it helps me to do? It helps me to not miss a week, of bringing forth God's word. And that's what it's all about, man, lifting up the name of Jesus. No matter what kind of circumstances you're in, that is what it's all about, man, lifting up the name of Jesus. And that's why today's title is more than apropos, dancing in the fire. I'm going right into the word, and you might be able to get used to this. Before, I was paying for a subscription. It was $100 a month or something. I think it was maybe $50 a month where you paid for a subscription and you were able to go over 30 minutes. I cut down on the paying for the subscription, so I got 30 minutes. I'm going to give you a good, poignant 30 minutes and get you on out of here to enjoy the rest of your day, but not before we praise God. So no praise and worship to start the show. We're going right into the Word. I like to give you the Scripture at the top of the show so that you can have time to find it, because I can't have you say amen when you have it, because I can't hear you. So I let you get it at the top of the show so then we can go right into the word. But here it is, Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 30, and it reads, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that most mighty men that were in the army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeded the hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down of the burning fiery furnace. It was then that the king arose in haste and spake unto his counselors and asked, did we not cast three bound men into the fire? And they answered and said unto the Lord, true. And he answered and said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and no form of the fourth is like, or and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then the king came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the, out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king counselors began gathering together. They saw these men upon whose bodies had no power, or upon whose bodies the fire had no pyre, or no fire, nor was their hair of the head thinned, neither was their coat changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. And the king spake, and he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants in him and has changed the king's word. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Man, it's a whole lot of text there. It's a whole lot of text there to read, a whole 5 minutes of it. But, man, is there poignancy all throughout the text. I mean, there's so much poignancy. There's so much happening within this text. But the key to the text is dancing in the fire. Dancing in the fire. That's the key to the text. And you see, it's unique because in this text the fire is fire, you know. But in our lives, our fire is different. You know, there's different kind of fires that we can find ourselves in. There's different kind of storms. There's different kind of tribulations that we can find ourselves in. The first is the self-inflicted storms, the self-inflicted fires that we find ourselves in. Those are the ones where we know we have no business doing what we're doing, but yet and still we find ourselves doing exactly what it is we have no business doing. Those are the ones where we pray to God and we tell him, listen, if you just get me out of this, I won't do it anymore. Yet and still we find ourselves back in the same situation. The self-inflicted fires are the ones that we put upon ourselves. This is when we're going out and we're doing wrong and we find ourselves in a situation that we put ourselves in. We've allowed ourselves to get into and we can't get out of. But see, there's other fires. The other fire is the complete opposite. You see, the other fire is where we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, is where we're focused and we're answering to God's will, where we're answering the call that God has planned for us, but yet and still, there's still some kind of fire that we find ourselves in. There's still the enemy trying to attack us and steal our joy. There's still some kind of situation that attacks your mind or your body and ultimately makes you question whether or not God is still with you. See, these kind of fires are what the devil uses to try to attack our relationship with God. It's those very fires, it's those very storms, it's those very, the devil tries to use, that God allows the devil to place in our lives so that, one, in God's eyes, we might get stronger, but in the devil's eyes, we might become weaker and ultimately lose our relationship with God. You see, that's what happens here in the text, because here in the text, it starts off telling us about how the haters as we would say in this day and time, the Chaldeans, which are the Jews' neighbors, it starts off by telling us a story of how they decided that because the Jews weren't worshiping a fake god, that they were going to go to the king and get the Jews thrown into the fiery furnace. And see, that's how this thing started. That's how this thing ended up happening. It was all because the Chaldeans thought that what the Jews were doing was wrong. So in spite of them, they decided that they were going to get the Jews thrown into the fiery furnace. You see, but the goodness of our God and the way that he works is that not only did the Jews get thrown into the fiery furnace like the haters thought, but while they were in the fiery furnace, he allowed the enemy, the very enemy that wanted them to get thrown into the fire, to see how he would move the story, how he would turn it all around. That's what it's all about. This is what God is allowing us to do. God is allowing us to get into the fire. God is allowing us to get into the storm. God is allowing us to go through what it is we're going through, not just so that we can get stronger, not just so that our situation can get better, but so that the enemy, the haters, the one that's the reason why you're in the storm in the first place, so that they can see that all that they can do, everything that they try, is not enough for the God that we serve. But see, the only way that can happen, the only way that it is only him that gets the glory is if we praise him while we're in the fire. The only way that the enemy knows that God is the only reason why we were able to get out of the storm that we were in, out of the situation that we're in, is if while we're in the storm, while the haters are watching, while they want us to go down, while they want to see us fail, we praise him anyway. Because what happens here in the text is the shouting is they tell the king, we got some Jews back over yonder, and they're not bowing down to our God. They don't worship the same gods that we worship. They think they're bigger and badder than us. We need to show them something. So the king calls them up and he says, is it true what the haters is telling me? Is it true? And instead of them saying no, it's not true, they said, yes, it is true. We don't worship your God. And this is the key that happens in the text. And this is the question that I have for all of you. You see, what happens here in the text next is that the Jews say that the God we serve, he's able and willing to reach down and take us out the pits of hell. He's able and willing to reach down and grab us out of the burning fiery furnace and place us on high ground. But even if he doesn't, we still will not follow the masses. We still will not do what our friends are doing. We still won't participate in what our neighbors are doing. Even if it doesn't go our way, even if what we want to happen doesn't happen, we still will not worship your God. What I'm asking you today is that even if the situation doesn't go the way you want it to go, even if your prayers aren't answered immediately, even if the situation that you had set up through, even if the best day of your life didn't work out, are you still willing to worship God? Are you still willing to be bold before the masses and before your boss and before your father and before your friends, even if it doesn't work out? Oh, come on. That's what's happening here in the text. Here in the text, they're saying it doesn't matter if God reaches down and snatches us out this fiery furnace or not. We will not bow to you, your friends, your king, your God, or anybody else, because the God I serve is almighty, because the God I serve is omnipotent, because the God I serve is El Shaddai, and we will not worship any other God, whether he shows up right now or whether he does not, because he's done enough for me. See, the problem with some of us is that we get used to having blessings from God. We get used to God showing up and snatching us out of our situation, and when he doesn't, we forget to praise him anyway. But see, what the Jews here are teaching us, what our Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is teaching us is that when you praise God in spite of what you're going through, when you praise God when it seems like the end is near, that's when God shows up. That's what's happening here in the text. But see, the key here in the text is how they responded. But it's just not that. Because they stood up for God, and that's amazing. But you know what? God is almighty. Don't need us standing up for him. Because when God comes back, every knee shall bow. You know what I'm saying? Every tongue shall confess. God doesn't need. He doesn't need that. You know. They didn't follow the masses. They stayed focused, and they didn't allow their haters to be their demise. But you see, the best part about this text is what's key, because this is where it is. In verse 24, it says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace. It says they fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, that verse alone would suggest, because we know the history that happened before this. I just read the text. Before this, the king ordered his strongest men to throw them in the furnace. But before that, he ordered them to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than what it's supposed to be heated. That would suggest that immediately as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire, immediately as they drowned, they would have been wounded. They would have had some kind of bruises. They would have had some kind of burn. But what happens in the text is that the king noticed as soon as the door was closed that there was not only 3 people, but there were 4 people in there dancing. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, God showed up in the fire. But that doesn't shock me, because this isn't the first time that God shows up in the fire. I mean, he showed up in the fire where the bush wasn't being consumed with Moses. I mean, God has habitually showed up in the Bible when there's fire. But this text says that with 7 times a fiery furnace-like temperature, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, yet they were dancing. But then I said, God, how could this be? How could they have fell down in the burning fiery furnace and still be able to get up and dance? But then it hit me. God said to me, he said, they weren't worried about their bruises. They weren't worried about their wounds. They weren't worried about the chastisement of their haters. Because it says in the text, it says in the good book from God, that he was bruised. Come on, y'all ain't trying to hear me. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. He was wounded for our transgressions. Come on. He was bruised for our iniquities. Y'all not trying to praise with me. You're not trying to praise with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stepped out on the word of God. They were bold, and they were not willing to let go of the relationship that they had with God, because they knew that the God they served could heal any sickness. He could heal any burns. He could snatch them out the pits of the fiery furnace and allow them to continue on praising his name. But watch this. Even if they didn't, even if God did not take them out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to go through the fiery furnace. But watch this. Watch this. What happens next in the text is key as well, because in the text it says when they responded back, king, it said that they spoke. And they said that they would not, y'all not getting it, y'all not hearing the they, that they would not kneel down to any king or any god. This would suggest that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were on the same page. Right. Now, it would be assumed they Jews, they neighbors, so they're friends. Okay. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are friends, getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace, and they are all willing to go in for the sake of their belief and their relationship with God. The problem with some of us is that we're hanging around with people who don't want to be in a relationship with God. We're hanging around people who don't have the same relationship that we have with God. And as a result, when it's time for us to stand before the and I quote, King, and when it's time for us to stand before the people who are demanding us to worship Muslims or Allah, who are demanding us to worship Buddha, when it's time for us to give our rebuttal on how good God is, we're not on the same page. But the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. And they were on the same page. And when they got cast into the fiery furnace, Jesus showed up. And the very haters, watch this, it says in the text that the king ordered his strongest men to throw them in the fire. And that the fire was so hot that the strongest men didn't make it out. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out the fiery furnace untouched, unbruised, unwounded, because God said, these are my people, and because of me, you don't got to worry about no wounds. You ain't got to worry about no transgressions. You ain't got to worry about no bruises. Stop hanging around these leafy folk. Stop hanging around these people that ain't got no relationship with God. Or better yet, do this. Be bold in Jesus' name, right in front of them. Don't bow down to their gods. Don't bow down to their friends. Don't follow the masses. And when you do, God will get the glory. God will show up right while y'all gathered in his name. And when he's done, everybody that was talking about you, the same people that cast you into the fire, are going to be the same people that want to know the God you serve. People that wanted you casting into the fire are going to be the people bowing down, praising the God you serve. I dare you to dance in the fire, to give God the praise in spite of your situation, in spite of everything you're going through. Yeah, you might be sick, but I serve a God who's a healer. Yeah, you might be broke, but I serve a God who will supply you with all the riches and land, houses and glory. Y'all hear me. God is a God who will bless you so much so that you won't have room enough to receive it. Stop worrying about the outcome. Don't be scared of the fire. Just lean not to your own understanding and trust God. Oh, come on, y'all ain't with me. Listen, don't worry about the wounds. Don't worry about the bruises. Don't worry about your haters and the words they going to talk about, because God already paid it for it. They wounded him. Come on. They bruised him. They whipped him all night long, and he got up on that cross, and they hung him high. Come on. And they stretched him wide. But for you and me, he died. Come on. But that's not how the story is. Come on. Because 3 days later, he rose again. But watch this. He didn't just wake up and get out the womb. He didn't just wake up and come out the tomb. He didn't just walk around as if nothing happened. No. He got up out the womb with all power. I'm not talking about a little power. I'm talking about all power, all healing power, all financial power, all relationship power. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever situation that you're in, God will reach down. Matter of fact, he won't even reach down. God will get down, and he'll walk next to you while you're in the fire. Better yet, he'll carry you through your storm. He'll carry you through the rain. And when you look back on the footsteps and you ask God, why is it that every time things got rough, why is it that every time things got tough, why is it that every time things seemed like they weren't going to turn out all right,
You left me by myself. I could only see my footsteps. And God's going to respond. It wasn't your footsteps that you saw. God's going to respond. I carried you the entire way. And you are who you are because of me. And that is the reason why it doesn't matter if he comes down in the fire. It doesn't matter if he snatched you out your situation, because God has showed up enough in your life that he doesn't need to do anything else. So stop worrying about the outcome and just praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he's already done. Get you a friend. Get you a brother. Get you a mother and bring them into a room and dance your way out of the storm. Dance your way out of the fire. And when it's all said and done, your circumstances before you went in the fire will be better after you get out. Your better is after your bitterness. Your better is to the wire here. It's coming down to the wire at the end of the show. That's what this is all about. This show, this word is about dancing in the fire. It's about dancing in the fire. That's what it's all about. Yeah, you in the storm. Yeah, you might be the reason why you in the storm in the first place. And it may be that you had everything going on. It may be that you haven't been doing anything wrong. But the bottom line is this, that no matter what the reason is, God is a God who will come down in the storm with you. And all you got to do is lift up the name of Jesus, is dance while you're in the storm, and everything, and I mean everything, will work out. It doesn't matter the magnitude of your situation. God is all powerful. He's a mighty God, magnanimous. He's a mighty, maximus God. You don't have to worry about your situation. Whatever it is that you're going through, God's got you. That's what this is about. But don't wait until the battle is over to start shouting. Start praising God for your blessing right now. Start praising God because the devil didn't have his way. Start praising God because the situation you're in could have been worse. Start praising God because of who he is. This God, I'm telling you right now, I'm about to let my feet get light right here in the studio. Listen, this is what it's all about. You're going to go through the storm. My spiritual father told me, I've said this before, my spiritual father told me, on New Year's Eve, going into 2015, he said, I wish I could tell you that everything that you're praying for, I wish I could tell you that everything you're praying for is you're gonna get it easily. I wish I could tell you that everything you want, you're gonna get. I wish I could tell you that 2015 ain't gonna be no storm, ain't gonna be no fire, ain't you ain't gonna go through anything. It's gonna be easy. But if I tell you that, I'd be lying, because you gotta go through something to get to your blessing. If you really want to be prepared for what God has for you, if you really want to walk into your miracle, if you really want to get out of debt, if you really want to get out of your situation, if you really want to have a better relationship with God, then you're going to have to go through something. God's going to have to throw some turmoil or allow some turmoil to show up in your life, allow some storms to come up in your life, and by him doing that, you're going to get through it. You're going to realize that he's the only way, that he's the truth and the light. And because of that, you'll become dependent on him. And a Christian or a person that is dependent upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you don't got to worry about nothing. Everything's going to work out. So it's coming down to the end of the show. Got the lady in my ear telling me I got 60 seconds. That's what I got for you today. Dance in the fire. Yeah, it's turning up. It seems like everything's going upside down. But dance in the fire. Do not give the devil the glory. Do not allow the devil to win. Dance in the fire and give God the glory. That's what I got for y'all this week on After the Benediction. I'm excited about this show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'm praying right now that everything works out for all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you same time next week. We're going to enjoy ourselves. Next Thursday, 6:30, we're back at it again. ATB, I holler at all you. God, bless them all. Bless me and be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. We holler.